for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday evening service of July the 4th, 1988. This is tape number 7. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Brother Tommy, pray the anointing of the Lord to rest over you this evening as you minister the word of the Lord and minister to the people whatever God gives you to lead.
Amen. Let's stand back up, can we? Praise the Lord. Banjo wants you to play it. Pray tonight. Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that all that you have done this day.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Lord, that minds have been cleared. And many things have been cast out. Many demonic spirits have been cast out. We thank you, Lord, that you call the body together like the gathering of the eagles.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, tonight we open our mind and our understanding to hear your word. Write it on our hearts. Lord, teach
yes,
us,
Lord.
Oh Father, the
yes.
things that we know to stand
Granted.
In this hour. Oh Father God, we command our being to your attention.
Yes, Lord.
Write your word indelibly upon our hearts.
Yes,
and everybody
Lord.
Said amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Turn to the book of Samuel tonight, if you will. We're going to share some maybe there if the Lord lets us. How many believe that if you've ever read Samuel, there were those who were making it and there were those who were missing it? Just like you and I, some of us make it, some of us miss it, don't we? In the book of Samuel, there were two men and there were two women. Now before we get into that, turn to Galatians 5:17. Hold your place there. In the book of Samuel, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. And the scripture says, well, let's go back to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Praise the Lord. The Bible said these two are contrary, which means they're adversaries. They're hostile to one another. They are antagonistic to each other. Now, as we approach the book of Samuel, we said there were two men and there were two women, especially that I want to zero in on for a while tonight. There was a man after the flesh, and there's a woman after the flesh. The book of Samuel opens with the two women, Peninnah and Hannah. And then the two men that it opens with is Eli and Samuel. Praise the Lord. Now, Peninnah is a type of the fleshly church. Hallelujah. She's got all the children. I mean, oh, there's a fleshly church tonight. They got all the facilities. They got all the money. But thank God. How many know God has got another people coming forth, though? Hallelujah. He's got Hannah. Hannah's down praying. And there's a time factor. Her womb has been shut up by God, not the devil. God shut her womb up, praise the Lord, until a man-child was going to come forth. Hallelujah. Then she was going to have other children. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And notice the Bible. It says in verse 5, But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, this is her husband, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. How many know if the devil can't come at you? Some way he'll use somebody else to get at you. because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 11 now. And she vowed a vow. And don't do it unless you mean business with God. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a what? A man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hallelujah. Now, so this adversary, Peninnah, provoked Hannah to pray. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody's provoking you and I to pray. But maybe there's a reason. Now, in Scripture, there are several women that were barren. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, the mother of Samson, which we do not know her name, Elizabeth, and the church is barren. But thank God, God has shut up her womb, but the time is coming. Hallelujah. She's going to bring forth a man-child. Can you say amen? She's going to bring forth her children. Hallelujah. Hannah was of the tribe of Levi. Hannah's name means to be favored. Peninnah's name means a pearl or a coral, which is a skeleton, which means there is no life. I'll tell you, there is a religious system in the earth where there is no life. But there is a church that God is bringing forth, hallelujah, that's got some life in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I mean, we need life tonight. We need the life of Jesus Christ. Now listen, there is an existing Eli, but there is a growing Samuel. Hallelujah. Eli, his name means to ascend or to mount up or to be high or lofty. It speaks of pride and it speaks of the old order. And I'll tell you about this man. He's blind. Look in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3 there, verse 2. It says, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Look in chapter 4 and verse 15 in Samuel there. It says, now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. Now that's in the natural, but it's more than that. He could not see spiritual things. He had become blind to the spiritual things of God. Hallelujah. He was a man heavy of flesh. He was the old order. He was a flesh man. He was actually a fat man. Amen? He was blind also to the carnal mind. Blind because of traditions and the doctrines of men. Listen, God needs to anoint your eyes tonight with eye salve that we see. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This man was vile. His sons were also vile. It was a corrupt priesthood in ministry in the earth. Again, he's a type of old order. What's the old order? It's the old thinking. It's the old mind. It's the old ways. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a way of thinking that's out of date. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. But there is a transition taking place. God is doing something behind the scenes. Samuel is being raised up. His name means to be asked of God. Hannah asked God for a man-child. And so his name means to be asked of God. He was God's new order. He was God's new mind. Hallelujah. New way of thinking. The key to his ministry was prayer. Hallelujah. I don't care what ministry comes down the road. If their ministry that does not pray, they'll not have very much results in God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This man was a man of prayer. Glory to God. A praying ministry. In fact, it was a prophetic praying ministry. Hallelujah. Thank God. In whose mouth there was a living word, and God did not let any of his words fall to the ground. Hallelujah. He was God's mouthpiece. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Now, there are two other men here in the book of Samuel, in the same book that we're in. There is Saul. He's a king after the people's heart. I mean, God stripped the kingdom from him. And then there's David, a king after God's heart. Hallelujah. Now think about that. Eli's a priest. Samuel's a priest. Saul's a king. David's a king. And God is doing away with the old priest kingship. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Of Eli and Saul. And God is raising up and establishing a new priest order and a kingship order. Hallelujah. In Samuel and in David. And the way God dealt with David and Samuel, God will deal with you and me, and we're going to be part of the new order. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I say God will deal with us, because if you're going to be in this new king priest order, or the kingdom of priests, you will be dealt with by Almighty God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So God's doing something today. Now, look in chapter 1 again. There are two man-childs in Samuel here. We saw in chapter 1, verse 11, Hannah's praying for a man-child, Samuel. Then in chapter, and of course his name, I said, means to be asked of God. Then in chapter 4, verse 19, turn over there. Here's another man-child that came forth. Chapter 4, let's come on down to verse 20. Here's a woman in travail. Her husband just dies. Verse 20, about the time of her death. This is Eli's daughter-in-law. The woman that stood by her said to her, "Fear not, for thou hast born a son." And she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Praise the Lord. Two man-childs. One, Samuel, and one whose name was Ichabod, which means the glory is departed from Israel. One birth by prayer and brings life to his mother. One birth in sorrow and brings death to the mother. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Samuel is a type of the man-child in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. He was a faithful priest and a faithful prophet. Glory to God. And Samuel's being raised up for a purpose. He's going to hear a word of judgment in his ears, and calls all also those that will hear it, their ears will tingle of that which he's going to say. How many know God's going to bring some tingling in our ears in this hour? God's raising some prophets up in the land that's going to speak the judgment of God. Hallelujah. We need to hold up, yes, our leaders, and we need to pray one for another. Amen? But we better pray for the Christians in America as well as the world. Praise the Lord. Because I'm telling you, as I'm standing here, judgment's coming on America. Judgment's coming on the land in many ways. And God is going to judge this land severely. Hallelujah. There are too many prophets seeing visions of that which is coming, and we need to pray for each other. Can you say amen? And hold up families, and hold up our loved ones, and hold up God's people across the land. Praise the Lord. And pray for the leaders of this country tonight. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Eli's downcast and failure and rejection was because he would not obey God. He would not obey God. Now, look in chapter 1 a minute of chapter Samuel, and you see Eli doing two things. He's either sitting down or he's laying down. I'll say that again. He's either sitting down or he's laying down. Chapter 1, verse 9. Notice what the Bible here says in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. He knew his place. 4:13, chapter 4, verse 13. Praise the Lord. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this?" No, that's not it. Chapter 4, verse 13, excuse me. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. And then in chapter 4, verse 18, he fell from his seat backward by the side of the gate. So you see him either sitting down or you see him laying down. Hallelujah. How many know we like to do that a lot? But how many know that's the type of the beast? Sitting in the place, the wrong place. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, where's he going to sit? He's going to sit in the temple of God. The temple of God, the Naos temple. That is not a building, a natural building. That is this temple right here. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No man can sit in this temple. Amen. Physical man. But how many know Jesus must reside in here by the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And yet it says he's sitting in the temple. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Let me show you where the devil is. And I'll tell you that's where he's at tonight. Revelation 2, 13. A lot of people don't like us to talk about the devil. How many know he's real? Yes, he is. Revelation 2, 13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, church at Pergamos, even where Satan's seat is. He's sitting right among the church. Never change. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelt. So Satan was dwelling and sitting right in the midst of this church. How many know he's there today? He's got to be dealt with there today. Isn't that right? Amen. And so he's right among the church. I could go into a lot more scriptures on that, but I'm not going to tonight. Now, Eli will ask Samuel to tell him what Samuel has heard from God. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And how many know Samuel's got a word to tell Eli? Hallelujah. I said Samuel has a word to tell Eli. Chapter 3, verse 11. Notice what it says here. In verse 10, actually, start verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I want you to notice he had an attitude to hear what God was saying. Lord, you speak, and I'll listen. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, God said, I will also make an end. How many believe judgment is coming into the house of God now? For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Verse 15. And Samuel lay unto the morning and opened the door to the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I want you to think about this. There was a lot of pressure put on this young child at this time. Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Praise the Lord. So this young man, a prophet, had a vision from God all of the destruction or the downfall of Eli. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he had a word from God. Now, let's be part of this growing Samuel. Amen? Let's get out of the existing Eli, that way of thinking, worship, that way of ministry. Well, let's come into a new mind. Amen? The Christ mind. New way of worship, new way of ministry. Now, what does Eli produce? Well, two things. Look in chapter... No, I won't go into that. He produces two things. Hophni, one of his sons, means a fist fighter. I believe we've got some fist fighters in the church. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. Amen. Now, he produces Hophni, a fist fighter, and Phinehas, which means the mouth of a serpent. Or, say it this way, violence and deception. That's what Eli produces. Amen. I mean, no, there's the tares and there's the wheat. And God is going to bring apostolic judgment into the church. And if there is a Hophni or Phinehas within you and I, if there's a fist fighting within you and me and deception, we better get it out. Can you say amen? We better allow God's purging power to purge and deliver us. Amen. So the order has produced fist fighters and those who have the mouth of a serpent. Now, serpent. Now look in chapter 2. Let's look at these sons. Let's look at the sons of Eli. They were sons of the devil. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. They were sons of the wicked one. sons of the worthless one, sons of the devil. Chapter 13 through 17, they disdain God's offerings. Look at verse 13 through 17 there in chapter 2. It says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Notice that. And he struck it into the pan, the kettle, the cauldron, and the pot. All that the flesh hook brought up. Notice, flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he shall not have sodden flesh of thee but raw. And if any man said unto him, let him not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, if not, I will take it by force. That old order wants to take things by force. Are you hearing me? God said to the shepherds, because you have ruled my people with cruelty and with force, I'm going to raise up shepherds after my heart. Hallelujah. How many believe God's going to bring some new shepherds into the church? We need some. Amen? We need some new leadership in the church. And I'm going to tell you something else. Those we've seen in the forefront, you're going to see a switch. You're going to see a change. God's going to bring some new leadership into the church. I mean, across the world and across America. Hallelujah? Glory to God. And I thank God for that, don't you? Amen. Men that don't want to be known, hallelujah, but they will be known, I suppose, but they want Him to be known. Amen. Now, notice here in chapter 2, verse 22, it says, they made themselves vile. It says, but Hannah went not up. Chapter 2, verse 22, it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This thing was done out in the open. Iniquity was wrought out in the open. They made themselves vile. And then in chapter 4, hear me now, verse 11, the Bible said they were both slain in one day. And those fist fighters and those who have the mouth of a serpent, how many know God's going to cut them off? I said God's going to cut them off. Now the Bible, yes, in one day. Now the Bible said they had a flesh hook. Amen? Probably violated the law of Moses. One to corrupt. Hear me now. I'm looking in the spirit, not in the natural. But this flesh hook had three teeth. And that system, hear me, the Eli system, it'll corrupt your spirit if you allow it, your soul, and your body. Are you hearing me? Eli's ministry has a flesh hook of three teeth. It'll swallow you up, spirit, soul, and body. The flesh hook of Babylon will tear at you if you allow it. Come on, somebody say amen. And just as Eli's sons fell in one day, Babylon is going to fall in one day. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll tell you something else. Babylon also speaks of America. Did you hear me? There are too many prophets have had visions on that. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, brethren, we are facing judgment in this land. I feel the urgency. I'm restless because I know we're right at the door of judgment coming up on this land. Not that we want to see it. It's coming. Too many are prophesying. Too many are speaking of it. It is coming. It is at the doors. And the way of lifestyle that we have had is soon coming to an end. You mark it down. It's a word from the Lord. The lifestyle that we have known in the past is being taken away. Our liberties are being taken away too. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, glory to God. Look in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 1. I want to say this, though. I believe America is coming under great judgment and destruction. But I do not believe she'll lose the war. I said, I do not believe she'll lose the war. I believe she'll be in a war. I believe there'll be war on these shores very soon. But I don't believe she'll lose it. Hallelujah. But she's going to be hit hard. Amen? Chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was what? precious. It was rare. It was something costly. In those days, there was no open vision. No open vision. That means something was closed. Are you hearing me? Notice in the days of Eli, hallelujah, in this time of time, there was no open vision. Rarely given. Very costly. Very rare. Now, let me show you here. Also, what happened? There was no revelation, number one, in Eli's time, as we said. Number two, he lost the very ark of God and the very presence of God. Ichabod was born, the imitation man child. The glory had departed. Amen. Listen, the glory has departed from many churches. The glory has departed from many individuals who think, like Samson, I can go out and believe the Spirit's still with me. But how many know he went out and the Spirit wasn't with him? We can deceive ourselves, can't we? I mean, Jesus said to one church in Revelation, if you don't repent, I'll remove your candlestick. Are you hearing me? Now, hear this. A sign of the downfall of Eli and the old order is this. He no longer can recognize and discern a true intercessor. Look at chapter 1, verse 11. We read it a while ago. She's crying out, Hannah is for a man child in verse 11. Verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli did something, just like you and I. He thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Hallelujah. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance, your sons are not me. Hallelujah. Amen. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Praise the Lord. So he could not recognize and discern a true intercessor. She was praying in the Spirit. How many know the day of Pentecost that said, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Amen? Amen. Now, so a sure sign that Eli and his system is coming down is that he failed to recognize a true intercessor. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said he fell back and broke his stubborn neck. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 18. Look at it. 4:18. He fell off that seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now I said, Hannah's name means what? Favored. And Samuel means what? Ask of God. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you some things that the mother did for the son. How many know she's a type of the church? Hannah is a type of the church. Samuel's the type of the man child. Number one, she kept him hidden until a particular time. Look in chapter 1, verse 22. Those that are tardy, not just rebuke that tardiness. Amen? How many know we got to tell our bodies what to do? Chapter 1, verse 22. Now notice what it says here. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do not do that which seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So she kept him hid, and then, of course, she weaned him. And in verse 4, it tells us there that she weaned her son. Praise the Lord. How many know it's time to get off the milk? It's time to get off the milk, throw the bottle away, jump out of the baby bed. Amen? And start eating some corn. Start eating some meat. Now, this child grew before the Lord. How many know God has ordained local churches? The Holy Ghost. I know there's a lot of churches, but God's ordained the local church. Amen? Now, the Bible Bible said this child grew before the Lord. Look in chapter 2, verse 19, just a minute. Now look at this verse. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Listen, the body of this new order is beginning to grow. The body of this new order is beginning to grow. How many believe David's coming forth? Amen. Saul's on the throne, and everything's going for Saul. Type of the flesh, type of the world system, the religious systems. But God's going to bring her down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God's raising David up.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And here God's raising Samuel up. Glory to God. So take heart tonight. Regardless of what judgment comes, regardless of what comes, there is a people in the earth that God is raising up. Amen. For that time of judgment. Amen. Because they're going to be God's people that he's going to use in that day. Glory to his name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, in Luke 13, there's a woman bent over. She's bent over, and she cannot have a heavenly vision. She can't see spirit, she can't straighten herself up. And she's bent over. She's got a demon of infirmity in her body, in her back. No spine specialist would say she has a demon if they really, unless they knew spiritual things. They would, you know, have some medical term for it. But Jesus rebuked that demon, that infirmity in her body. How long did she have it? 18 years, which is 666. She was a daughter of Abraham. Amen? Hallelujah. And yet right there in the temple, there was three people. There was a bound woman, a type of the church. There was a blind ruler, the ruler of the synagogue there. And then there was a blessed deliverer, his name is Jesus. All three is right in the temple. How many know God doesn't dwell in temples today made with hands? He dwells in these temples. But right in this temple, listen, there is also a blind woman, the church. How many know we're at the temple of God? There's also a blind ruler, your carnal mind. And there's a blessed deliverer, his name is Jesus, that wants to deliver you and me. And he did two things on the Sabbath. He did two things on the Sabbath. He rebuked the blind ruler, and he healed the bound woman. Hallelujah. And at the end of the age, we've come to the end of the age, brethren, where again, in the temple, there is a woman bound, the church. Amen? And that blind ruler is that carnal mind that's got to be changed by God's word and God's spirit. But his blessed deliverer is going to be the sons of God he's raising up. Amen? That Christ is going to use in this hour. The Bible said they'll come up on Zion. Hallelujah. And there shall be wholeness, and there shall be deliverance. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you, he's raising up those that's going to bring deliverance to the woman. Praise the holy name. Hallelujah. And the three errors that's being taught in the church are those who say, once saved, always saved. You can never fall from grace. How many know that's a big lie? That's out of court. Second lie taught is in the holy place, any minute rapture for the whole church. That is a lie. It is not true. The whole church is not going to be raptured all at once. The church is heading for tribulation. The church is heading for trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And because many think it the other way, how many know they're going to, some of them's going to blow up. And others are going to throw up. Amen? But God says you better grow up if you're going to go up. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the last lie that's being taught is ultimate reconciliation. Everybody's going to be saved, you know, regardless. That is a big lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And we need to stand against those lies that are being taught. Right in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And right in Arkansas, there's a lot of that taught all across Arkansas. But thank God it ain't taught here. Hallelujah. And a lot of other places. I don't mean just single Arkansas out, but it is in Arkansas and other states. I guess it's in every state. But anyway, it's a doctrine from the devil. So we need to know, brethren, those are lies from hell. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this body, the new order, is growing. Hallelujah. Now, many kingdom people even see no need for a local church or even the mother church. But you know, Samuel had a home base. He not only went out in mobile ministry, but he judged on the road, and he judged at home. He was a judge. He was a priest, He was a prophet. Praise the Lord. And I believe, now this is my opinion, I believe judges in the Old Testament are equivalent to apostles today. Praise the Lord. How many know we need some apostles today? Godly apostles and prophets. Praise the Lord. Now, one other point. Samuel was nourished. He was nourished and sustained, of course, by his mother. And we are being sustained by the church. Can you say amen? The mother today. Hallelujah. Now, look in chapter 1, verse 28. Samuel was a worshiper. In chapter 1, verse 28, I believe God demands that we be a worshiper. Can you say amen? Chapter 1, verse 28, it says, Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. His mother said, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Praise God. He was a worshiper, even at a young child age. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 26, you'll notice something else here in Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 26, it said, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. So he had God's favor and he had the favor of men. Now look in chapter 3, verse 21. He had a revelation of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 21. He had a revelation of the Lord. We need a revelation of Jesus. Somebody say amen. We need to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we can see that he had a revelation of the Lord. Then in verse 19 and 20 there, he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, look in chapter 3 also, and look in verse 3. Now look at this verse. Let's see when the call of God came to Samuel. Remember, he's a type of man child that God's raising up in this end time. Chapter 3, verse 3. And ere the lamp of the Lord, God went out in the temple of the Lord, when the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. So just as the light was going dim and about to go out, God called Samuel. Hallelujah. And it seems like darkness is sweeping the earth and even much of the church. But hear me, there is a people God's raising up. Amen? There's a people within a people. Hallelujah. There are some overcomers that will say no, hallelujah, to death and to darkness. Amen? And they'll say yes to Jesus and to light. Glory to God. And they're going to answer that call just like Samuel did. Hallelujah. They're going to say, here am I, Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Glory to your precious name. Amen. Now, listen to me. There's judgment came upon the house of Eli. There was a prophet who was an unknown prophet who brought judgment upon Eli's house. You see, that which God saw or showed Samuel was just a confirmation of what Eli already knew. And so now God sends an unknown in chapter 2, verse 26 to 36. I'm not going to read it. But God sends a prophet, an unknown, to bring judgment on the house of Eli. God is raising up his unknowns in this hour to bring judgment to that old order. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about the old church order, the old fleshly order. Hallelujah. God is judging her. Amen. Now look in verse 35 of chapter 2. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house. Glory to God. And he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I believe this was in Samuel and Zadok and David, but thank God it was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And yet his sons he is raising up are going to be a faithful priesthood too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So there was a... God has a faithful priest coming forth. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe tonight we need to hear the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. I want to tell you something, brethren. There is a beast in the church. Now, let me show you something. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Got so many notes, can't find all I got here. Chapter 7. How many know there's a fat road and a skinny road? Matthew 7. I'm going 20 more minutes. I got to 10 o'clock. I'm going an hour tonight. Matthew 7. Now, look. Let's see what Jesus said in chapter 7, verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate. Wide's the gate, broad's the way that leads to what? That word destruction is the same word for perdition for the beast. It leads to destruction. It leads to perdition. And notice, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate, narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now we know as far as the world goes, there's just a low percentage of people that's going to be saved, or that are being saved. Amen? As far as the population. But I'm even looking beyond salvation. I'm looking about entering the kingdom of God. How many know there's a difference in being saved and entering the kingdom of God? Now, the Bible said, you know, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, aren't we? We're not saved by our works. Come on now. Isn't that right? Our grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by the blood of Jesus. But to enter that kingdom, Paul said, is going to be by much tribulation. Amen? Now, there is an overcoming people, amen, that's going to walk the straight and the narrow way. But how many know on this straight and narrow way, there are restrictions as you travel. And the narrower the road gets, the more restrictions are put upon you and are put upon me. Somebody say amen. And there's not too many traveling that road. I'm talking about an overcoming road. I'm talking about in the church now. Praise the Lord. Now, many are saved until with the Holy Ghost. But know nothing about overcoming, and they want nothing to do with suffering. We're talking about a road of suffering tonight. Now, look over in Luke just a minute. Luke 13. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Look in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Luke 13, 24. And notice the Bible. What's the first word? Strive. Now, you didn't strive to get saved. If you did, you're not saved. You didn't strive to get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you did, you're not filled. It's a gift. But there is a striving when you come into the kingdom. Because the violent, come on, takes the kingdom by force. And that word strive means to agonize. Agonize. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, why aren't people able to enter the kingdom of God? Why? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to show you a few reasons why people won't enter the kingdom. Turn back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 14 and 15. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14 and 15. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of, come on. How many know they're keeping a lot of people out? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. How many know they still smell like a wolf? They have tracks like a wolf. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Notice the problem is where? Inwardly they have a false spirit. False prophet has a false spirit. Next verse. Hallelujah. You shall know them. But men and women do not enter that straight and narrow way because of false prophets. Number one. Number two, look in Matthew 7:22. Here's the second reason. It's because of iniquity. Verse 23. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You that work lawlessness. I mean, oh, that'll keep you out of the kingdom. Now look over to Matthew 24 again. I want to show you these two scriptures together about the false prophets and iniquity. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. 24, look at verses 11 and 12. And many false prophets shall arise and shall do something. Deceive many. Notice the word. We've seen that word many several times here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. How many know that's God's people? Huh? He's talking about false prophets deceiving people. And as a result, he said, iniquity would abound and many shall wax cold. Are you hearing me? Now, hallelujah. Another people that will not enter the kingdom are those that will not do what God said. Matthew 7, 26 and 27, he said, there are those that hear, and there are those that do. Those that hear and do not do are like those who build upon the sand. How many know the first tidal wave comes in and knocks it down and brings it right out to sea? Are you hearing me? And then the next people, well, I've got so much, I can't go into that. Okay, number two. Let's go into Philippians 3. Let's turn there. Let's look at this beast system here. Now, if you are truly going to overcome and be an intercessor, this teaching may not mean too much to you. But if you're going to be a casual Christian and just want to barely get by, you might want to listen. Are you hearing me? Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are something. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Not the one he died on, but the one that he demands you and I to take up every day. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. How many know that word Christ means the anointed one? The cross of the Spirit that you and I must bear. Come on, say amen. Whose end is what? Our perdition. That's the same word for the beast. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mine, earthly things. That's where their mind is. That's that old lower nature. And if your mind's on the lower nature, you don't want a cross. You don't want suffering. I don't want the cross. I don't want suffering, if that's true. And it leads us right into the beast system itself. Somebody say amen. Now, 1 Timothy 6, and I'll tell you, those who do not want the cross in their life, they don't want the suffering message, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you something else. You'll not be perfected or matured without suffering. 1 Timothy chapter 6. How many of the love of money will send you to the beast system? Not money, but the love of it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. Notice what it says here. The last part of it. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and what? Notice perdition. It takes them right into the beast system. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred or been seduced from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So the love of many shall lead people right into the beast system. How many know Judas sold Jesus out for money, but he never lived to spend it? Amen? He was not a dictator. He was one of the 12. He was right among the 12. There are several words that numerically, the numerical value come up to 666. One of them is this, tradition and the word wealth. And I'll tell you cannot separate the money system from the beast system. They are one, especially the love of money. That covetousness and that lust. And in John 17, verse 12, Jesus said, none was lost except the son of perdition, Judas. Amen? He was a betrayer. He betrayed Jesus for money. Are you hearing me? Amen. How many know that Moses, I'll just say it this way, Moses is beginning, the Moses of this day, are beginning to come from the backside of the desert. The Jonas are beginning to come out of the the fish's belly because of disobedience. And Samson's hair is beginning to grow again, but the Judases are going out and hanging themselves still yet. Hallelujah. Amen. And they always will. Now, let's go to another scripture. Got a few more minutes. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Let's see what Paul says about the beast. God gave me this by revelation one time. 7 ways how people enter this beast system. Hebrews 10:32. The Holy Ghost gave it to me in a service one day. 10:32. Notice what it says here. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, not eliminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both for reproaches, afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hallelujah. Oh, what a message there would be on that. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
But if any man do something. And we know the Bible said if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back. Come on now, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Lot's wife, what'd she do? She looked back. Was turned into a pillar of salt. And right here it says, but if any man draw back, my soul, God said, shall have no pleasure in that one that does it. Everybody see that? But we're not of them who draw back into what? Into that B system. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's your mind, will, emotions, and desires. But let me ask a question. Does people turn back? Sure they do. Sure they do. Does people backslide and completely turn from God? Sure they do. Amen. Too many scriptures on that. We could show you that. Amen. Let me just show you one. 2 Timothy 4:10. Let me show you. Here's a man that was a preacher that worked with Paul. 2 Timothy 4:10. And notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He let me down. He disappointed me. He deserted me. Demas left me, having loved the present world. Can you hear me? Amen. So I could give you a lot of scriptures on that if I really wanted to. Number five, the fifth way, there's going to be those who follow the false teachers. Let's 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. False teachers among you, he says, among the church. Look in 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people. That was in Israel. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, church, who privily shall bring in what? Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, here's a large following, many shall follow their pernicious ways, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Now notice verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They're going to get out of you everything they can. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. How many know God's going to cut off the Canaanites? Turn over to Zechariah, last chapter, last verse. I'll show it to you. God's going to cut off those money changers. How many know those Jesus said, my house is going to be a house of prayer. They had corrupted God's house. God's against merchandisers. How many know what I'm talking about? We've seen it. We've seen it too long in the church. Those who want to corrupt God's people. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about selling tapes and books over here either. So don't get that in your head. Chapter 14. I'm talking about those who corrupt people. I mean, no, there's manipulators in the church. Chapter 14 now. Come on now. Look at verse 21. Yet every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite where? In the house of the Lord of hosts. No more peddlers, no more traffickers, no more merchants. God said, I'm going to cut them off. And God said, my house shall be a house of prayer. Our house is a den of thieves or it's a house of prayer. I'm talking about this house. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, so Peter said there's going to be a large following. And that word damnable, that word destruction, pernicious ways, and damnation is the same word for perdition for the beast system. And he said, many shall follow their ways. Now, got 5 minutes. Number six, those who turn from the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's see who's going to go into the beast here. 2 Thessalonians 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 2 Thessalonians 2. And look at verses 1 through 4, I think it is. Let's just come up to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there comes something. What is it? A falling away first. First. Now, I know there are those who say, well, that's all right, past. Well, maybe that's true to a certain portion, but I still see an end time meaning to it myself. I still believe there's coming a great falling away yet in the church. Hallelujah. I believe we're already in the midst of some of it. But I believe it's going to steamroll and even get bigger. But at the same time, God's Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. But he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of what? Perdition. But notice, right at that time, he said, there will be a falling away, and that means defection from the truth, or a revolt, or a rebellion, or a writing of divorcement right in the church.
Hallelujah.
And I don't preach those verses as a rapture like some are doing. I believe apostasy means you're going the other way. There's some preaching a rapture there. Well, I hardly doubt it's a rapture. Seventh point, last point. Those who twist God's word, look in 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a natural meaning to Scriptures, there's a spiritual meaning, and there's a fullness. Scriptures has more than one meaning. But you can't leave out the natural. And you sure can't leave out the spiritual, and you sure can't leave out the fullness. There's a rest for the natural body, isn't there? There's a Holy Ghost baptism rest, and the fullness of that rest will be in the thousand-year reign with Christ. Now, 2 Peter 3:15, notice. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, and he wrote about, what, 13 or 14, speaking in them of these things, the very thing he's talking about, the heavens being on fire and all that. How many know Paul talks about that? Huh? But how many know Peter also says it's a place wherein dwelleth righteousness? Where's righteousness at? It's right in here. And if you can see what God's doing in you first, how many know you'll always see what God's doing out there? Our problem is we're looking only out there. We don't see in here first. If you look in here first, then you'll see what's coming out there. Hallelujah. Now, it says right here in verse 15 again. I want to read it again. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned... Are the Christians unlearned? Are the Christians unstable? Certainly. Notice the next word, rest, or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own what? Destruction, which is perdition. And so God is telling us tonight, brethren, by the word of the Lord, there is a broad way, there are the enemies of the cross, there are those that will love money, there are those that will turn back, there are those that will follow false teachers, there are those that will turn from the truth, and there are those who will twist the word, and they'll end up in the beast system. But to those that overcome, and those who will be an intercessor, the beast system has no power over them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord God. You're raising up a new order. You're raising up Samuel. You're raising up David. Hallelujah. You're raising up your man-child, the sons of God, the overcomers. And Father, I thank you again for Lake Hamilton. I thank you for their stand on righteousness. Hallelujah. And their stand against iniquity. Father God, I pray for the ministry here at Lake Hamilton. I pray for Brother and Sister Miller. And I pray for Pat in Cabin and all that work here, Lord. And I pray, God, you'll uphold their hand. And I pray, God, that you'll send in the finances and meet every need of this camp, Lord. Father, you'll raise up many intercessors to pray for Lake Hamilton. Hallelujah. For surely this place is a place that your light and your lamp has come, Lord God. And Lord, the light goes out from here to not only America, but to the nations. Hallelujah. And we thank you for those apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists that you're bringing into Lake Hamilton to bless your people here as well as across the land. And God, we uphold their hands tonight. And Lord, we uphold them in faith and believe that every need shall be met. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you for your people that have come and traveled many miles across the land to be here, Lord. We thank you for deliverance and healing. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, those that come that are hurting and they leave, Lord, rejoicing in you. And they give you the praise and the glory. God, we thank you for the kingdom of God tonight. It has come nigh this people, Lord, because Jesus, you said, if I cast out demons in your name, hallelujah, you said the kingdom has come nigh unto us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the kingdom tonight, and we bless your people, And we ask God that they'll arise in the spirit. And Lord, that they'll see through the old order, the old system, the religious system, the harlot system, Lord, that's in the land. And they'll hear the voice of God which says, come out of her, my people. And Lord, that they'll obey thy voice. Hallelujah. Father, seal this word tonight to the hearts of your people, we pray. We thank you for your people. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, Brother Miller. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.